A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. It's KSL.
Hey, there's
unrivaled.
Alex Keery.
Boy.
Wow.
Sometimes I worry if you're going to be there, but tonight it was me, and I'm here. I don't know what to think about it. Hey, Scott, here's the deal. We've got a lot to talk about, and so much of it has one giant element of something that I love, and that is massive rumors and gossip. And that's how I like
that's
to
our show,
it.
Alex. Absolutely. Massive rumors and gossip. Are you kidding?
And in 2020, that's all you're kind of hanging on is, I heard from a cousin, from a friend of somebody else that this may be happening, and that's where we're at. Could BYU be facing off against an East Coast opponent? It is almost Thursday, Scott, and we're wondering about this game possibly happening across the country. That's where we're going to start things off right here with our 705 Cut.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so BYU versus Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers. Did we figure out what those were? I don't know if we ended up actually ever figuring out what those were. Some animal of some sort, like a bird, or I don't know if it's a bird.
I don't know.
Prey.
I don't, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what to think about
Here's
it.
Here's the thing about mascots. Who cares today, really? Because
possibly be taking on the number 18 team in the country, Coastal Carolina. And that's if everything does not go well with the testing tomorrow with Liberty. Now, so they're facing off against Liberty this weekend, as it's already scheduled. But as of about, I would say, what was it, about 4 o'clock today, the rumors start flying, Scott, about BYU taking on Coastal Carolina, which, so then everything starts blowing up. How does this work? And then Liberty and Coastal Carolina are saying our game is still planned on being kicked off at 2 o'clock. So this is the business we're in, where everybody goes, I have it on good authority. My sources say, it's been confirmed. Well, what's been confirmed is that those two teams are still playing each other right now, and that BYU has at least inquired to Coastal Carolina about the possibility of playing on Saturday. Could it happen? Anything could happen in 2020, Scott. The question is this. If you're a BYU fan and you play the number 18 team in the country, the 9-0 Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, which I think I've eaten a couple of those in France, Scott.
Yes.
So I think that the question really is, are you going to do enough to beat the number 18 team, which also has no respect from the College Football Playoff Committee? They're 9-0 in the Sun Belt, and then they go, yeah, they're one of the better group of five teams. They're certainly not the best. They're certainly not even close. What does that do for your resume if you're playing a team that is also undefeated that the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't care about?
Well, I think it actually does something. And it does in the sense that if you're able to beat this team, then you say, well, we're clearly above that level, right? This is the best of you know, whatever level. And so it's actually saying that there has to be something said for that. And not only just winning, but I think winning in a fairly decisive manner. I know people say, well, I believe that does matter, because I believe that the competition committee has to look at and say, wait a minute, you know, it's the whole eye test thing. And everyone feels like, well, you know, BYU is passing the eye test. And if they win in that manner, I think they do that. But here's what I like about all of this. I actually like it a lot.
You do like it.
No. I'm going to tell you what I like. I haven't told you yet.
It's close to Myrtle Beach. I figured it out.
Well, that's important. And I know Myrtle Beach, but here's why I like this. BYU is I mean, literally, they are turning over every rock.
Yeah.
They're looking under every bush, every tree, every possible place. They are scouring the country. And they go, I mean, if they're willing to go to Conway, South Carolina. I know Conway is just a few blocks away from Pedro's, which is, and this is no joke. Pedro's is this tourist trap on the border of North and South Carolina, and you get messages for it up and down the east. It's all the way down into Florida, and this place is out in the middle of nowhere. And if BYU is willing to go out in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, it just tells you that, you know, I'm just impressed with that. I'm super impressed with
that. Well, but see, it's also, there were a lot of people who came out and said, oh, so BYU, who wanted 100% commitment from the University of Washington, is getting a quarter of a commitment from Coastal Carolina and saying, we're there, we're playing this game. But I think that the circumstances...
Well, I don't, yeah, it's an if and then type of thing.
Things have changed quite a bit in the last 2 weeks, too. I mean, BYU got their playoff ranking, and they went, oh, my goodness. Like, we have to do something now. And it is desperate, and it is happening now. And my thing is this. I don't know anything about Coastal Carolina. We all have watched Coastal Carolina climb up the rankings this year, and with nothing to go on except for, oh, yeah, they're in, what'd you call it, Scott? Conway, South Carolina.
Conway, South Carolina.
So that's all we know about it, and that they have a 100% teal field, Scott. They play on BYU would be playing on a teal field this weekend.
Well, just also remember this. It's not close to any interstate. Like, it's not easy to get to. It really isn't.
Fun.
It is out of the way. it's completely out of the way. So if this whole rumor is actually true, And we're speculating right now, and the rumor, as we understand it, is game day is going to be there. So college game day.
So ESPN College Game Day is already supposed to be there for the Liberty and Coastal Carolina game.
And listen, if there's a
network that has a dog in this fight, it's ESPN.
Yeah.
They have said BYU has gotten totally hosed on the rankings. They have also said, but they also have a financial kind of tie with everybody almost, it seems like. But BYU and ESPN have a relationship, and that makes a lot of sense to them to be able to kind of pub a team that has gotten a lot of play on their network, has been on TV a lot this year for them. And it's a fun team to watch. At the very least, this is an entertaining game with they have one like opponent that they've played, if they indeed play them. And I don't know what the odds are of them playing them. Because I don't know, but the rumors have been so strong about this that it seems like there have been discussions, but nothing's been solidified. And I feel bad for Liberty because everybody's having this discussion around you while you're going,
hey,
wait a minute, we thought we were having this game, you know, and it's tough. And so I wonder if this would actually be a benefit for BYU. You're going on the road.
Alex,
you're going
are you kidding me?
Two time zones away, Scott. Let me give you a better option.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure there's a better option, but...
Yes, there is, and I'll tell you why that this might be something that you could... Now, if Coastal Carolina comes up tomorrow and they go, boom, we want you, you go, obviously.
Right.
But let me just tell you something. Wazoo and USC is still not a guarantee, and it's because of Wazoo. Now, if you could get a 1.5-day prep time or a 1 or 2-day prep time to play USC late Saturday night, and Scott, let me sweeten the deal for you. You make that the late game on Saturday.
Are we in an infomercial here?
Let me tell you, there's more. What if I said that I could give you, Scott, the earlier game on a Saturday so that that game could go to the late game on Saturday night, and so BYU won't be playing on Sunday, which, of course, would be a no for them anyway. But USC's scheduled to play on Sunday as it is. I just think that if it were to come up between a number 18, 9-0, go to the East Coast versus USC opens up and you have a day and a half, you have to go to their place. I would be all for the USC option over the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. But we'll still keep looking into this thing and seeing if this is going to end up being something that even ends up happening.
Game day is a huge thing, Alex.
And to have game day there would be massive.
It is a huge thing.
Maybe that's
not only for BYU, but for Zach Wilson and the Heisman.
It's true. Hey. Well, by the way, that was the 705 Cut. 705 Cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic, as usual, as we appreciate their sponsorship of the program. And, of course, let me throw out this little tidbit for you. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit WasatchMedicalClinic.com for a $500 free offer. Taking the break, coming back. Got more to go. We have all sorts of things going on. We got this Utah football team that is also playing this weekend. Scott, I don't know if you know that. So we'll talk about that. What did Coach Kyle Whittingham say about his team this week? What needs to improve the most? Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Okie dokie. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. Alex Keery is on the other end of the line. During the break, listening to the where are they going to, you know, disperse all of these vaccinations with the COVID virus. And it got me thinking about what is a positive thing that's happened from all of this, and it happened today.
Oh, what is it?
We had NFL football on a Wednesday.
That's right.
On a Wednesday, but like an afternoon.
It wasn't even afternoon. It was like midday. Like, I think about it on the East Coast when this game kicked off, it was like noon.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh, what is going on here? This is like –
It's NFL football on a Wednesday.
And it's an undefeated Steelers team taking on, like, their worst rivals, like the biggest rivals in their division. And it ended up being kind of a garbage football game.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Because we got football
on a
Wednesday.
True.
And so let's look at the silver lining. Let's be positive.
I like it, Scott. The rumors, of course, have been swirling in the last few hours about BYU and the possibility of landing a game this weekend. After last night's show, we just kind of, I guess I sort of landed thinking it was just not going to be enough time this week for anything to happen. Not only was that that squash this afternoon when rumors started popping up about BYU possibly moving in and taking Liberty's spot if they have too few players ready to play for this Saturday against Coastal Carolina, an undefeated Coastal Carolina, number 18 team in the college football playoff rankings right now. Dave McCann, nice enough to walk over from TV and sort of help us through all this. Dave, what on earth is happening in the world of BYU football these days?
It is such a it's just this kind of a year. And they've been working on trying to find a game and working on trying to find a game and kind of waiting in the wings of this and that. And we've said many times on this program, at least that I believe, that COVID is going to write the ending of this season. We're just not sure how. And if this game comes to fruition, it'll be because of the virus at Liberty that would keep them from playing at Coastal Carolina on Saturday. They're going to have a report out in the morning as to their status. And so far, it's all business from Liberty's side and Coastal's side. The game hasn't been
canceled.
Then
how did it come up? Like, it was there were, I mean, obviously, we want to confirm stuff before it happens, but there were a lot of people who were sure that this BYU-Coastal Carolina conversation was already happening way before we had to hear again for like the third time from Liberty and Coastal Carolina, no, we're playing this football game until otherwise.
A lot of people want this game to happen. It jumped on the national Twitter feeds and all of that stuff. I know the team practiced tonight for Coastal. Hopefully, I know they're hoping that it comes to about. I haven't talked to Tom, but I have to believe, and we'll see how this goes, but I have to believe there's some conviction on the BYU side before telling the players that here's the possibility and let's move that direction. It can't have been a whim or, well, this might not work out, but let's go down and get everyone's hopes up anyway. And so I don't know the answer to that. It just seems like you wouldn't walk down to address the team and do that if you didn't believe that this is the direction it's going.
The first two games of the season for Utah, they knew they were on like razor thin edges of playing each week.
Yeah. Right.
So this testing is going on, and so there. It's not like who knows if for some odd reason they're like, look, we're a player or two away, and it's not looking that favorable. BYU, are you there? You know, we want to play a game. We want
right. to. Yeah.
So I'm sure that they probably reached out because they've had major issues and they're probably really close.
And Coastal doesn't want to lose. ESPN Game Day is going to be there
right.
on Saturday. They don't want to lose that opportunity. And this is a game
ESPN Game Day would love. Yes, absolutely.
You know, and for BYU, if it comes to pass, it's the biggest game out there that they could get. It's a team ranked in the top 20 in the AP and in the college football playoff rankings that's not nailed down to a league that won't do it. There aren't any other games out there of this magnitude. Now, there are cancellations all over the place. Boise State, UNLV canceled tonight.
Right.
There's going to be a bunch
more.
Yeah,
but Jerry beat Boise State.
Yeah, we do a rematch.
No, I'd want to play UNLV. That'd be so fun.
At the Raider Stadium. Yeah. But this is going to be how it's going to go all month. And so that's, you know, you can't sit on a secret like this, and somebody didn't, and then it jumped around. And
was it you, Dave?
No, it wasn't me. Still isn't. We're waiting for BYU to announce it, and people are asking me all the time, and I said, it's just a wait and see, so we have to wait and see. But everyone wants it to, you know, on BYU's end. They're just hoping this comes
through.
That's kind of a terrible thing, though.
It is awful to live
by
that.
We hope that someone gets sick so we can play this game. I mean, that's kind of – I mean, it's –
Well, when you put it that way, it's not very good. But hey, we need an opportunity, and an opportunity could evolve if this happens over here. Now, those two teams could play in 2 weeks, so it's not – no one's wishing death on anybody. They're just saying, hey, BYU needs a football game, and there might be a number 18 team that needs a football game, and so – here we are.
So best case scenario for BYU, if it does happen and ESPN Game Day says we want to keep that game there, we've already got our stuff there or whatever, I'm thinking like logistically, I want to know how this works, because getting the team out there on a charter flight, no big deal. But then there's the thing about driving the full BYU semi out there with, you know, 36 hours of lead time, let's say starting tomorrow. I guess those guys, they drive in shifts anyway, and they can get from one place to the next, but this is not ideal in the sense, but nothing's been ideal about this year.
No.
What do you prove to the College Football Playoff Committee by taking this game, and what changes Tuesday if BYU gets this game and then they get a win there let me read it here, Conway, South Carolina?
Let me tell you, we've already defined this group as the 13 most intelligent people on the planet, so there's nothing to convince them of anything that they haven't already decided. But what it does do is it keeps BYU in the mix. It keeps them on the highlights. It keeps them on ESPN. It keeps Zach Wilson throwing footballs and in the Heisman conversation. There is no lose here for BYU to add a game, but they have to win that game. And Coastal has been pretty good, so they got to go back there to their place and win that game, and they've got to earn their keep and then put a little more pressure on the committee. But like we talked about the other night, there are three or four teams ahead of BYU that are going to lose because they're playing each other.
Right.
And BYU just needs to keep winning and just
get
two more spots. they got
to
get games.
Well, here's why this
get
is
two what, more spots what, and get in the New Year's Six.
I was going to say, too, the other reason, Scott, this is important, too, is that when this game, if they're able to get this game, you have no idea what's going to happen next week with that with the already scheduled San Diego State game.
No.
So if you have that game in front of you, you go, look, maybe that's the 10th game that they get. And if that's the one you end up getting as your last game, is that one that's right in front of you, then there you go.
And they're still trying to get a game for the 19th.
And But to answer your question about the College Football Playoff Committee, I'm not convinced they've even watched BYU play.
No.
In fact, when these playoffs came out, these rankings – you know, BYU was kind of on the tail end of not really playing anyone important at that time. And I think this gives the playoff committee a chance to really look at BYU and get a better assessment. Because I guarantee you, the people on the committee haven't looked. There's no one there that has a voice for BYU, and they don't really care. They care about their conference.
If this game happens, and we'll know in the morning, and BYU wins, they'll jump past Indiana, who's going to lose to Wisconsin, and a chance to get past Iowa State, who's going to lose to West Virginia. Cincinnati's got to play Tulsa twice. They've just got to get up two spots.
I love it.
The Fiesta Bowl is two spots away to an optimist.
With 3 weeks left in the quote-unquote season. All right, Dave McCann, thank you for joining us and for jumping in here on short notice.
Hey, how about taking down St. John's today? What a comeback win.
Win for the Cougs, after the bad loss against USC yesterday. So BYU basketball, 4-1 now.
Hey, Scott, happy holidays.
Same to you, Dave. I'm going to change your name. Instead of Dave McCann, it's Dave I Can.
Yes.
Mr. Optimist.
Yes, Mr. Optimist. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. More to go right here after news, traffic, and weather. We got those Utes to talk about. I've got some Kyle Whittingham sound you don't want to miss. Scott will interpret it for us. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
Oh. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell.
Wow. What? That was a sigh.
It was. Oh. You know what it is? It's because the rumors can be too much. The rumors are almost as exciting as, like, part of the thing is that you want from rumors of BYU possibly playing this team over here or over there. It's just the fun of the rumor, okay? So whatever they taught you in Sunday school about rumors and gossip, the first thing they always have to tell you is, yeah, you know, it sounds fun on the face of it. I'm like, yeah, it's amazingly fun. I love these kinds of rumors. And I love people going, well, we'll just see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. And then they kind of give you, you know, a wink or, you know, I love this kind of stuff. I love when people go on Twitter and go, I have it confirmed. And then the schools come out and go, you have not confirmed anything. And then they go, I have confirmed that you have a Twitter account. Like, they just make up. You know, it's just as funny how these guys have to keep going from, like, one thing to the next. And all we're doing is just praying for a football game some way, somehow, here in Utah. And, of course, we already know the Utes are going to be playing on Saturday. Scott, the Utes are playing the Oregon State Beavers. And I've got some things that Coach Whittingham has to break down from this last week and things that his team needs to adjust to right now. The very first thing, and you've alluded to it many times, are the problems that they have with turning over the football. Here's what Coach Whittingham had to say about turning over the ball and being a Utah Ute.
We go about it every day of the week. We dedicate periods to nothing but ball security drills. We've been doing that for years. Andy's very tuned into that. Andy Ludwig, our coordinator, nobody is neglecting that. Nobody is not paying attention to that. We're all paying attention to it, and it's something we always do pay attention to. If you boil it right down to the bare bones, that's been.
So I just want to say, I hate our colleagues across the sports journalism side of things. That's a frustrated answer. Because they're like, Coach, what are you doing to address the fumbles? It's like, of course, you think Coach Whittingham doesn't know what the issue is?
He just flipped the switch on. There's no emotion in that whatsoever. This is like, okay, this is answer number, you know, 54B.
It's turnover. Right? He just pulls up the file of turnovers. Yeah.
It's like, no, we actually go to practice and we say, let's figure out ways that we can give this game away. Let's find out ways. Let's not care about. We don't need to worry about ball security. Ball security is something that you're taught from the very beginning of your existence in football. That's not the turning the ball over is not Utah's problem. It's not. None of this. It's like it's a waste of time to even talk about it. What's Utah's problem is they don't really care. They don't really want to play right now. They're not taking this seriously.
Wow, really?
This is yes. Yes. Absolutely. And you know, everyone can put on a good face. And I can't hardly blame them. I really can't. Because your first two games of the season got canceled. And you're not going to get them back. It's not like, I mean, right out of the gates, before they ever played a game, they were the last team in all of college football to start a game in the whole entire country. And so you miss your first two games. And then you lose your quarterback. The guy that really, I mean, if there's anybody that needs this season, it's Cam Rising. Above any player on that entire Utah football
team. And he doesn't get it.
And he doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. And so then you have no fans in the stands. You're going to have four games in a season, and maybe five, you know, if this round-robin playoff thing, whatever that happens. So you're barely going to have a season. You're probably not going to go to a bowl game. And the reality is, it's like, I guarantee that, and they won't, no one will say this. Like, they can't say this. The reality is they just want to get through the season, get something positive out of it, and move on. They're there because they have to be there. And I don't think Utah's alone. I think this is most of the teams in the Pac-12. I mean, I think it's everyone in the Pac-12.
They were they were handed a big bag of failure when everything started up.
It's not, what is there to be excited about? I mean, you're not going to make the college football playoffs. You're not. And I just haven't seen. It was better last week at Washington, but I just haven't seen. And I'm not knocking anyone. I'm not saying all these. You know, I'm just saying the circumstances have kind of put them in a place where they don't. I don't know that they have any other choice than to just kind of work their way and try to make the most out of this season. Because I'm telling you, it is bizarro world out there.
When you say that, do you think that these, like, what is the thing? Because now they're being, then it sounds like they're kind of being held hostage. That they're forced to play these games against a team like, at the beginning of all this, when we were looking at a possible six-game, maybe seven-game, you know, situation with a quote-unquote championship week or whatever. When we were looking at that, we looked at this Oregon State game and went, okay, they've set it up for Utah to go undefeated. Their one crossover to the North game is an Oregon State team coming down to Salt Lake. Now it's like, what are you playing for? This team just beat Oregon last week, and now you've only got two games left on your paltry schedule. And now what? Because now these guys, I mean, you can say they don't have a lot to play for, but at the same time, these guys want to play, and there are a lot of young guys who want to show up
and
do
so their thing. Here's what I've learned in my time in football. When you're out of it, and they're out of it, right? You can't change how you go into a football game. I mean everyone can say, you know, put on a good face and go out there, and we try the same all the time. It takes a Herculean effort to do that. These athletes are geared, they want to compete for a championship. In the NFL, you want to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's all you want to do. You want to win a championship every single year. And when you know you're out of that, it's like, oh, you know, and so it takes a real professional. It takes someone who's really focused, who's dedicated, who's really disciplined to what they're doing to say, okay, I'm going to put in every ounce of energy into this as if we're going to the championship, if we're going to win the championship, if we're going to, you know, whatever it is that you're striving for, is that focus never changes. And I think it's a little bit of maybe a disservice to these players, because, you know, all of a sudden next year they're going to go, okay, now we have to turn on that mindset. And I think they're better served if they say, we have to develop this championship mindset now, today, even in this season that's kind of lost. A lot of the players a year ago, they said, we had a bitter taste in our mouth the first year they went to the Pac-12 championship, and they all wanted to come back, and they all wanted to, you know, avenge what, you know, they thought they could go back and win. But that mindset has to start today. You know, you can't go get to the end of the season and go, yeah, we probably should have tried harder or maybe had a little bit better focus. And so these turnovers aren't because they don't practice, and aren't because the coaches don't talk about it, and they don't have collapses at halftime because the coaches don't talk about it. They're not taught it. It's because they haven't developed that championship mindset yet.
Let's take the break here. When we come back, we've got, oh my goodness, it's one of Scott's favorite segments that we do all week. They So Poo Poo. The people that make the list that you don't want to make. We have MVPs sometimes, and every so often we have They So Poo Poo. Come right back. We'll hang out and we'll talk about it. We'll get you through all this, Utah fans, BYU fans, whoever's out there listening. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Okay, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell on this end, Alex Curie on that end. We basically have you covered from one end of the valley to the other here in the great state of Utah and Salt Lake Valley. Of course, we have people that hear us all over the place, all the way to, I don't know, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Oh, my heavens.
The Aleutian Islands.
That's weak. You know, when my parents are
in Japan.
Now we're talking, because you can get that signal sometimes to bounce off the old water over there.
You know what else you can do? You can download the KSL Sports app, and you can hear us anywhere, anytime.
So before we get into this, Scott, I just wanted to say I'm jealous of you being able to watch a football game in person this week. I haven't watched a game in person in quite some time. And so the fact that you'll actually be at Rice-Eccles Stadium watching Utah and Oregon State, a little jealous of it. I'm excited about it.
And, you know, you should be, because it's pretty awesome. And I really feel bad for you that you can't go watch.
Now, that being said,
you haven't gone to a game and watched it?
No, I have. No, I've gone. I mean, it's been like 3 weeks is what I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying it's been a long time.
Long time, like 2 or 3 weeks. Yes. Since I watched BYU. Boy, what was that last home game? Anyway, I watched them beat somebody.
If they do get their Coastal Carolina game, I think you should go.
The Coastal Carolina. Can I just give you a real quick something here? If you want to learn something about this team that BYU might be scheduling tomorrow. Now, this is a Chanticleer. That's what it's called.
Right.
Chanticleer. Now, I read the actual pronunciation, too. It's a weird, they say it's said like this. The Coastal Carolina Chanticleer, which is like on their logo is like a very vibrant bluish teal rooster, okay? But it's derived from Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, specifically the Nun's Priest Tale. I don't know exactly what that has to do with I mean, it's one that's a big stretch for in a world of mascots that are totally weird. There okay. are some weird mascots. One's a weird one.
I have some mascots that I think are they so poo poo.
Okay,
since
so
we're in this.
All right, since we're going to be there, I'm going to play the music then, and we'll get there. Yeah. So here we go. Yeah. The Chanticleers are. Do they make Scott's list? Who knows?
They so poo poo.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Poo-poo. Good luck getting this song out of your head, Scott.
Yeah, this is like Baby Shark.
If we're anything, Scott, we are an educational program.
Yes, we are.
To teach the young kids. So you say the Chanticleer. Is it on your list of bad?
What's it?
The Chanticleer.
Well, I didn't even know what they were, and I still, after your explanation, don't know.
It makes no sense. They're like, it's from a tale. And I'm like, well, is it a rooster then? They're like, go and read. It almost is like it's giving you homework. It's the mascot that gives you homework. That's what I hate about it. It's like, find out what a Chanticleer is. Why don't you go back and read Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales? No, so, thank you.
Right. Yeah, I'll get on that as soon as the show's over. I'll go read that. Here's one that just it kind of baffles my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. The Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Oh, the Cornhuskers. There's nothing wrong with the Cornhuskers.
No, what is a Cornhusker?
They husk the corn.
I know.
Moving on.
What exactly? What
self-explanatory.
Is it? Like, wow, that just I.
Well, my
I am,
kids
I
do it.
Look,
like, every summer we grew corn this summer in our. In my garden at home, and guess what? I've got corn huskers at my house because my kids husked all the corn.
It's Nebraska.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got corn there.
No. Do you know where they have corn?
Iowa.
Iowa.
That's true.
So why isn't Iowa like the corn huskers?
I think they kind of started as a corn people, and then Iowa sort of took over, and now they're kind of wheat and soy. Would you rather they be the soy huskers?
Maybe it's winter wheat. I don't know.
The winter wheat shuckers. There is that, though. In Wichita State, you have the shockers, right? I don't know exactly
Then you have, okay, here's another one.
What?
The Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
Sooners. Yeah. Sooners.
See, the problem is that these are all mainstream.
Isn't Sooner like, wasn't that?
We got there sooner than you did, but it's our land.
It was illegal, right? They kind of.
I don't know.
They kind of left a little early.
Everything back then.
It's a false start. They should have gone back 5 yards.
That sounds right for the Oklahoma program.
Sooners. I don't know. I don't. Yeah.
But the thing is,
that's so poo-poo to me.
All of those bad mascot sins are forgiven when you win a national championship. People go, oh, yeah, the Sooners. They move right past it. Cornhuskers move right past it. The one that bugs me is the UC Santa Barbara. Or is it Santa Cruz? Banana slugs. Scott, there is a University of California.
You just made that up.
No, I did not.
The banana
there
slugs.
Is a University of California system. I think it's Santa Cruz. University of California, Santa Cruz, the banana slug. So whatever you want to say about the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina, they got nothing
What's
on the banana
Hoosier?
Slug.
What is a Hoosier?
Yeah, it's a guy from the state of Indiana.
I know, but what is a Hoosier?
Or gal.
Or what? Okay, I'll give you another one. Yeah. A Boilermaker.
Now that one makes complete sense. We're back to where the Cornhusker is. He makes the boilers. Scott, he's an expert. He or she are an expert in welding giant boilers. The guy's got you've seen it. He's wearing a construction hat. It's OSHA approved, and he's got big muscles. So you can't poo-poo the Purdue Boilermaker. They make boilers. It's one of the toughest jobs out there. You're down there, and it is hot, and you're welding those things, and the boilers need to be made.
How do you equate that to a mascot?
Guy, that's what I say. It's a guy, and he has just got a hard hat on, and I don't know, a welding kit. He's probably got some oxygen and acetylene torch going on.
Okay, you want another one? What's an Aggie? I can do this all night long.
I know I can too. I've got an answer
Aggie.
For you. It's an agricultural guy or gal.
It. So they're agriculturals.
Right, but you don't want to just be the farmer because that sounds
Why not be the farmer?
I definitely. So what was funny is I grew up
Utah State farmers.
Listen, they already have to endure a lot of jokes about farms and things like that. I think we should leave them alone. It's been a bad year for the Aggies.
Speaking of locally, how about the Davis darts?
Okay, dart? Now listen.
Is it dart like a what? Is it like a listen, dart?
It's a flash, and the explanation itself is done in a flash, and that's how quickly they beat you too, buddy.
And it's just
boom,
and you move on.
Now
from there.
The problem I have with Davis is the brown and the yellow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm.
Well,
we moved up there.
Colors
we
yet.
Moved up there, and I have to explain to my kids you're going to be wearing black. You're going to be wearing brown and like a goldish yellow. It's not good. It's not good for kids. That their whole universe is based on potty humor, Scott.
You want another really bad one? It's just like I don't understand this. And
okay,
it actually kind of annoys me.
All right.
I don't know why. The Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah. Now, that
it's
one I have
tree.
No explanation. Of course it is.
But it's not a tree.
It
it's
is,
a
but
cardinal.
It isn't. Yes. I mean, it's a color. So the cardinal is a color.
Right. But they used to be the Cardinals.
The bird?
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought that was never the case, but I will say so.
No, they changed it to a
it's
tree.
It's like the Syracuse used to be the Orange Men. You can't do that. Then they just went straight to the orange, which is what the Cardinal is. It's they've just straight up gone to hey, we're the Stanford darkish maroon, like that. I will say, and then the thing is when you have the tree
but
running
then,
around,
it's a,
it confuses
it's a tree.
Everybody.
What's a tree?
Everybody. Okay, what about the brown? What about the Cleveland brown? It's orange. It's orange. It's named after a family, but it's brown, and there's a dog involved in it. But it's orange, and it's brown.
Well, that'd be kind of cool if the team was like the Cleveland Curies, you know, like they're named after you.
Doesn't have the same ring to it, though.
Oh, it has an amazing ring to it.
kind
of catchy.
Okay.
And you can change Cleveland to a K.
The Chanticleers. if you want to go to a New Year's Six Bowl. You've got to figure out. They've got to have a revote on the team mascot. You got to go and look. I know there are 1,000 different iterations of cats you can be. It's because it's proven that thing will pounce on you.
Right,
cougars, tigers,
leopards, jaguars.
Yes, all those things will murder you in the wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing you want. You want to be afraid.
Except for the lions, the Detroit Lions. I want to say they're probably a tame animal.
Yeah.
They've probably been declawed. Yeah.
It's probably that male who just like is asleep in the field. That's really what it's turned into. Scott, I'm glad we had this discussion. A They So Poo Poo mascot edition because we just don't know what a Coastal Carolina Chanticleer is. Chanticleer. Chanticleer. I don't even know where to. I just sound
bad. Chandelier. That's what it's called. A chandelier. They shine and glow at night.
I'm sure we'll get a full breakdown by Greg Rebell for if they're calling that game on the weekend. He'll have a full historical breakdown. Taking the break here. News, traffic, and weather. We'll come back. 8:05 right around the corner. We've got a ton to talk about. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Doing a little deep dive into whatever Coastal Carolina is as a team. I have no clue what to expect. They're a Sun Belt team. They're undefeated, 9-0.
They're ranked.
They are. They're 18th in the college football playoff rankings. They are like opponent. The only opponent in common they've had with BYU is Texas State, who they beat 49-14. Coastal Carolina did, and BYU beat them 52-14. Intriguing, kind of, I guess. I just don't. My only thing is, and the more I think about, if a game like USC came up this weekend, if Washington State couldn't play, and USC said, "Hey, BYU, we're down for whatever. Come to LA. We'll play this game." It'd be a shorter trip. It would be a bigger opponent. I know game day is important for you, Scott, but I'm just saying. I don't know. I just think that if it was between those two games, you take the one that's invited first, and you take the one that is for sure the game. But I don't know. Just you know how people are with USC; they drool over them.
Yeah, but USC hasn't beat a team that's.
No one cares. Neither has the Chanticleers.
I don't care because BYU or USC is not really gotten a lot of love by the college football playoff committee
because they only got three games on the schedule.
I know, and so why would you want to go play a team that's going to have four maybe games
still USC
in the season.
And if you did it at the Coliseum, which is what the Pac-12 would require, then my goodness, I even with the game day feature, the question is a BYU-USC game would probably get some bigger play on a TV in a TV situation, which is what BYU also would.
I really think the pub they got from game day, and they'll get it because
right.
every reveal on the college football playoff ranking, they've all the experts at ESPN are like, what the heck is wrong with BYU? I mean, we've watched them. We've seen them. They passed the eye test in our opinion.
Right.
We think they're a pretty good team. So BYU would get a lot of love from ESPN, and then you're going to hear about it all day, but you're also going to get, as I mentioned earlier, maybe a resurgence, depending upon how Zach Wilson does. Maybe because I think he's kind of flattened out, you know, as far as the Heisman goes, and I think he possibly could get back in that discussion with a really decisive win at the Chanteliers.
reads his cue card. See, it's a lot easier for me to remember USC over Coastal Carolina in Conway, South Carolina. You'll never forget that. Now
I know this area.
I know
really well.
If I made the trip.
I'd go with you if I didn't have a football game because we'd have a really good time.
You'd show me around Myrtle Beach, man.
I would.
Maybe. Yes. I don't know if they do fans at Coastal Carolina. If they do, if they have fans at Coastal Carolina, that might be one I'd take the kid to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. I'm thinking about it.
It's a good place to go.
All right. Scott, the 8:05 cut here. I know we're a little late on it, but we got to jump right in here. It is the most important story right now. The Utah Jazz are still prepping for all sorts of basketball that approaches here. It's the 2nd of December right now. They play the 13th and 14th of December in their preseason games. The 8:05 cut is the Utah Jazz. Let's go.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
You know what that felt like? Because we got late to the cut here. We're usually not this late to it. But it felt like when you... Remember when it was like Christmas Eve and you woke up way too early and your other sibling was awake too and you start whispering about what if and you start whispering about things that could be under the tree? That's the way that the rumors of BYU and Coastal Carolina.
Let me help you out on the waking up too early.
Yeah.
You can never wake up too early.
Oh, on Christmas?
No.
We have rules in my house. You can't come out of that door until 7 a.m., buddy.
What?
Oh, yeah. Nope. Oh,
we've had breakfast before 7 a.m.
I know, and that's the thing is I can't allow it. I cannot allow it.
You are the Grinch. Oh, my goodness.
We got rules, Scott. You got to have
it's
now, listen,
Christmas. There this aren't is rules my, at
are,
Christmas.
These are all things my dad and mom inflicted. Just... And so you do the same thing. So here's what we have in my house. Not only that, you're going to hate me for this. They have to have their rooms clean and their beds made.
Are you serious? Oh, you are just the
oh,
worst.
My goodness. Oh,
kids, would you like to have your presents today? Well, go brush your teeth and get in the shower.
No, it's get your room clean and make your bed. I have no idea. That was just what our parents had for us. Wow. I think it was just another thing to waste time or like practice patience or something. I have no idea. Now that I say it out loud, it sounds
We absurd. Went in my parents' bedroom, went to my mom's side of the bed. Hey, can we get up?
Yeah, mom's nope. side. Always mom's side.
No,
yeah.
We went to my mom's side. Nope.
Oh,
went
yeah.
over to my dad's. Yep. And we got up.
Yeah. Now, my kids will do the thing. They'll wait, and they'll keep coming in and out of the room, and then I'll finally go, all right, you can open some of your stockings.
That's oh, fine. You're terrible.
Yeah.
You are terrible.
Don't you dare open a thing till I get out there. All right. So the Utah Jazz, the big one from today is that they're still having these kind of media availabilities roll out over the last couple of days. I wanted to play something from Rudy Gobert's yesterday, and we'll get to Royce O'Neal and Jordan Clarkson's from today. But here's what Rudy Gobert, the Frenchman, had to say about the possibility of – well, what they're here to do, because this is a guy whose contract talks, now that Donovan Mitchell's are out of the way, it starts to get real interesting going into next offseason about how they're going to handle that Rudy contract. Here's what the Frenchman had to say about the goals as a Utah Jazz man.
My approach is still the same. You know, it's my goal is to win a championship here. It's been my goal since I got here, and it's still the same. You know, I'm focused on the upcoming season, and I'm excited. And about the negotiation talk, that's why I have an agent, you know, so I can focus on basketball. And
he can focus on basketball. There you go.
No, he needs to go into the negotiation.
Listen, I love that this guy, you know, you'll never – what's the whole reason we love Derek Favors coming back?
The whole thing was what did Coach Quinn Snyder say yesterday? Because we know what we're getting with the guy. There's a trust factor there. There's an effort. There's like a system thing that he knows. He loves that system. He loves
being
in it. He wants to be here. And with Rudy, you know what you get with Rudy, and that is this. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's mad about how people treat him. He wants to get more respect. And you know he's going to play with that chip on his shoulder. And that's at the very least, Jazz fans, I don't know what the future is going to look like with Rudy Gobert here or not. But for this season, guess what you're going to get? A guy who's going into negotiations, or a guy who has maybe even finished up negotiations by the time things really get underway, but he's going to prove himself. He wants to prove himself, and that's what you're going to get with
him. I'm excited about having Favors and Gobert together, and because you do know that it's good, and you know that Favors is a pro, and you know that he's going to be a spark off the bench, and he's all, you know, and a lot of the talk is being able to play both of them at the same time. Because sometimes you get some of these teams that mismatch with a guy like Boyan as the four. You know, he's just not quite big enough to handle some of those big fours. But what I'm concerned about is that these guys are going to try to be like the Jazz are going counter to, you know, small teams. But what I'm afraid of is that these big players are going to try to play like small players. They're going to, you know, like Rudy Gobert is going to start shooting that 12 to 15 yard.
Please,
or 15.
No. Oh, 15 yarder. Well, oh,
I speak really in yards, Alex, because it's the world I knew.
Yeah, he's like 14 meters.
You know, jump shot. Or you're going to get Favors out on the three, you know, shooting the three. And I'm not sure that this is the strength of what these players are, or it's what the Jazz have in mind for them. So I don't want to say I'm concerned, but I could see where they could start saying, you know, I want to be part of the trend. I want to become this stretch big that has range and has versatility. And I'm not sure these players are even built to be those type of rangy, you know, bigs. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out in the season if they actually go rogue a little bit and say, I'm going to start shooting.
If at
jumpers.
The end of my life somebody calls me a rangy big, I've made it. Royce O'Neal, this is what he had to say today, talking about this is a guy who, you know, we've seen flashes of brilliance. This is a guy, undrafted free agent, famously made his way onto the roster and is a starter. And we love Royce O'Neal. The question is now, what's the next step for this guy? Because we've seen really, really good defense out of him. How can he make sure that he is part of this team getting even better going forward?
Start on the defensive end. You know, we're going to have games where, you know, our offense isn't going. So we know we got to, you know, especially like the last game that we played, we know that defense has got to be there. We got to lock in on that. And then even though we have, like, you know, good offensive nights, you know, we can't just, like, work on, like, outscoring other teams. So we know we got to put them both together. So I think just us not, you know, going away from the team aspect, you know, playing together, you know, relying on each other.
Let's go to Jordan Clarkson here real quick before we get out, Scott. And that is, this is a guy who said he wanted to explore his options. And then within, I think it was an hour of free agency, he had already signed a deal. He's coming back, and I think that means something to the team, that this is a guy who wants to be here, and he wants to play for Quinn Snyder.
Just the relationships with everybody, you know, the guys, you know, they've been great, the relationship with Coach, and overall just the fit in the city, it's been great to me as well. Feeling comfortable. Peace of mind, and everybody just having the same goal of winning and growing together. I feel like that's where it all came for me, and, you know, wanting to, you know, continue to grow here, continue to do great things here in Utah.
Let's take the break here, Scott. We'll come back. We'll react to some of those things. Jordan Clarkson, I'm glad he's staying here. I want to know what it takes, what the next step is for him around the corner as well. We'll take that quick break. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled KSL News Radio.
Okie dokie. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. The show moves on. And, you know, we were talking about the Jazz in the last segment there. And we played a clip from Jordan Clarkson, who had options and was really...
Well, he said he was going to explore them, too.
Yeah, and go look at
things.
Took
him about an hour to explore them, and then
well,
he was done.
It makes you nervous because he clearly was a player that, you know, was very effective for the Jazz and being that sixth man. And
the one bright spot off the bench for the Jets.
I think part of why he goes, look, you know, he's been around the block a little bit. He's been other places. And he goes, grass isn't greener. And you take a guy like Gordon Hayward who goes, yeah, I'm going to go to the Boston Celtics. And, you know, it's the Garden. It's Boston. It's the Celtics. And I think Gordon Hayward said, you know, wait a minute. Boston wasn't a good fit for me. And so a player who's kind of been around a little bit, a little savvy, he goes, the player, the team, the coach, the system, where I fit in the system works really well for me. And, you know, and I like what's here. And there's a lot to be said for that because the perception from people is, well, you know, it's Utah. And I think these players are more like, I just want to go where I fit and where I can win.
There's a magical,
I don't care where the rest of it is.
Yeah, there's a magical thing you can say if you are playing in Utah and you maybe just signed a new extension or you were wanting to. If you say, I feel like the community's really embraced me, everybody in Utah perks up and goes, oh, he likes us? Did somebody say he likes us? Like we have this massive chip on our shoulder of already like being feeling like nobody likes us. And so when somebody goes, you know, when you hear stories like that, you know, Derek Favors loves, you know, being here, or that Darren Williams, you know, he lived here forever and had his kids going to school here. We love hearing those stories because we have massive insecurities about living in Utah. Have
Post
a small
Malone
market
team. Lives here.
I know. Post Malone lives everywhere in Utah. He's got
Ty Burrell, Modern Family.
Yeah,
you know the after Osmonds.
After the Osmonds
pop in and out every once in a while.
Yeah,
you know
who else lives here in the state of Utah, Scott?
I don't.
Spencer Linton. From KSL5 television
tonight, he ever
BYU
live here?
TV.
Wow.
And
is he Post Malone's neighbor?
he wishes he were. Spencer joining us tonight. And of all the nights that you could be filling in for our TV brethren across the hallway, fortuitous that you're coming in on the back of a lot of rumors of BYU and Coastal Carolina, the possibility of that. I'm just going to ask you straight up, how far are we into that? Do we know anything else? Is this something we're not going to even know until tomorrow morning?
BYU is practicing right now.
What time is it?
At this very minute?
They are practicing right now.
Like two-a-days?
They have split up the allowed amount of hours.
Okay.
But they are probably watching. I don't know what they're doing. They're probably watching film
some
right
film,
now.
Some film. So, and that's
to get
what
an
the
idea,
idea
of what Coastal Carolina does and who they are. And
just in case, or because they feel like they're pretty confident that there might be a possibility.
I think there's a little bit of both there. Who knows what's going to happen when Liberty gets their test results back tomorrow morning, and I believe they're going to do some additional testing using that 15-minute antigen test and just to see. But clearly, the BYU players and coaches, based on what they have been told, feel very confident that this game is going to happen.
All right, BYU fans, this is where I throw in the disclaimer that we do not try to get your hopes up here at KSL's Unrivaled. We do,
but
however,
we just have,
and so, but what does that do? Like in terms of that, we know how much the College Football Playoff Committee has now looked poorly on BYU. They're playing a team that they obviously don't respect either because they're 9-0. They're a Sun Belt team and they're 18th. Does that make any movement? Because they already said that they were going to look for teams moving around them, you know, code for they need everybody to lose in front of them, maybe even twice to be able to get a shot at that New Year's Six game. But playing a team like Coastal Carolina, what does that do then if the committee already doesn't respect Coastal
Carolina?
Well,
that's a great question. And I think that now there is a little bit of ammo on BYU's side based on what the committee did with Iowa State, who was number 13 last week. They played number 17 Texas.
Yeah.
They eked by. And what happened to the Cyclones? They jumped into
spots.
The top 10. They get to number 9 with two losses against a Texas team that, let's be honest, has been okay sometimes, but have been mostly underwhelming. So if BYU at 13 takes care of business against number 18 on the road in front of an ESPN game day crowd and audience and national exposure.
Would ESPN keep it there then?
Absolutely,
okay.
They would.
Look at that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So, I mean, the game is slated right now for Liberty and Coastal Carolina to be on ESPNU at 2 Eastern, noon Mountain.
That's a little early.
If BYU gets into that slot, don't be surprised to see it slide late and bump up to a
ESPN
bigger network.
ESPN2 maybe.
Correct.
Or
and
an ABC
be in a primetime slot, maybe a 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain kickoff.
That'd be nice for BYU.
Be on the Ocho.
You know, so the fact that happened to Iowa State, Like, if BYU does this on a whim in a couple of days and goes and hands an undefeated team that's ranked in the top 20 of the college football playoff rankings a loss, then how do you keep BYU from not jumping up to at least number 10 or 11?
Let me do a game of druthers. Would you rather, if BYU had the chance, if Washington State didn't pan out for USC, would you rather play a 3-0 USC team at the Coliseum, no game day, Coastal Carolina 18th, 9-0 at their place, back in Conway, South Carolina?
I'd rather BYU play USC.
Yeah, me too. I think it looks better.
Based on the travel, just getting to Los Angeles.
Based on the way that people treat USC.
Yes.
For no reason. Yes.
Well, they're not treating USC very well
right
now.
It doesn't matter. But historically, they look and they go, well, it's a Power 5
program. It's a name brand, and right now it's the highest-ranked Pac-12 team.
That doesn't mean much these days.
And you got any more?
You got what else? Could they play USC and Washington State at the same time? Maybe by force, just kind of move even further up the road.
Let's be honest though. Based on name brand alone, what would resonate with the committee and the Power Five brokers more? Beating Coastal Carolina or USC in Los Angeles?
It's a no brainer.
But they're the Chanteliers. Come on.
The Chanticleers. The Chanticleers.
I don't even know who they are. Sorry.
The Shants. Fear the Teal.
Oh, yeah. You can't be called the Shants. Isn't that a type of clothing that's like...
That's the hashtag. The hashtag is
no,
like,
it's not.
Shants up. Yes.
Don't put your chants up. This is a family show. Please. Isn't that what it is? Short pants, shorts and pants, or skirt and pants together? That's a chance.
Alex.
We're learning all sorts of things.
For one of the few times I'm speechless on this show.
And that's a perfect time for us to go to break. Hey, Spencer Linton tonight on KSL5 Television. What are we going to be talking about? BYU, big win against St. John's today.
Yeah, good bounce back win. Gideon George, an amazing story. Gets even more amazing. He had 13 points and 15 rebounds. The kid 2 years ago was sleeping outside of a court and running away from people just because he didn't want to get in trouble in Africa. I mean, it's an incredible story.
So you'll have that, plus like part TMZ, too. Like rumors have it, BYU might be playing the Chanticleers.
Absolutely.
I love it. All right, thanks, Spence. We'll talk to you again.
You got it.
Taking the break here. News, traffic, and weather here at the bottom, and then we'll come right back. We got our NFL roundup and our two-minute drill. Don't want to miss it. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Scott, thanks for making an appearance tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to do that for you, Alex. You know, anytime you need it, just call me up. I'll come in.
Are you free tomorrow? I don't know, around the same time. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting home.
I know. You're just sitting home. Hey, it was nice seeing you on the old Zoom call today. And even if it's just a few moments. I know people out there can relate to this, too. You see somebody on a Zoom call, even if it's just a Zoom call, I reached out and touched the screen. I was like, I miss you, Scott. I miss you. So any little thing to get us through, to get through things here. And as we get through the rest of the show, as you always know, if we're getting to this part of the program, it's where we jump in and do our NFL roundup, all things going on in the league, all the way around the shield. Here we go. Let's
KSL's
do it.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right. Here's the deal. You and I, Scott, we watched, this is why we got on the Zoom call. We virtually watched the game together, the Steelers and Ravens game. That was quite the experience. You could hear the audio of the game through my side of the board. You were like a little bit ahead of me, and so you were like, he catches this for a touchdown. It was very interesting. But I was, just to start things off here, the NFL they've had a really interesting go here, because the Broncos situation on Sunday was basically a punishment levied at the Broncos for not owning up to the mask situation at their facility. And playing this game on a Wednesday mid-morning,
the Steelers-Ravens game, which this is an undefeated Steelers team, and they've stayed undefeated, and their biggest rival in their division playing a Wednesday mid-morning game, Scott. And in my mind, I'm going, the NFL was like dying to get this game played, but then you had the NBC wanting to light their Christmas tree tonight, which, don't get me wrong, we love the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, whatever. But in the end, I just don't know what some of these decisions that the NFL are making.
To do the game on Wednesday, the reason they're doing that is because it's probably the last – it's the last ditch, the last maximum day to where you could get ready for the next week. So Pittsburgh and Baltimore now have at least enough time. I mean, if you do a game on Thursday and go, okay, now you're going to play – your next game on Sunday.
So will they play on Sunday then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you? That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, because it's like saying, okay, you have a game on Sunday, and then you're going to play a Thursday night game.
Okay.
It's the same recovery time. Are you going to be 100%? Are you going to be at your best effort? No, you're going to be at a disadvantage from a team, you know, because normally when you play that Thursday game, you have 10 days to rest. And so this, you know, this one, you're not going to have 10 days to rest, and you're only, so you're going to play again on Sunday, and then you're going to play 7 days later. So the recovery time, it could have an impact on one of these teams or both of them, you know, going into the final stretch of the season. They could get real tired.
Right. And these are like the two, well, I mean, you've got the league's MVP from last year and whatever the disaster they've turned into now in Baltimore. And then you've got this 11-0 Steelers team that, by the way, Jeremy, our producer, said they're not that good. And I think a lot of people – and that's no fault of his, because he's a lost soul and he like still clings to the Texans or whatever in the AFC. But I'm just saying this is an interesting thing, because a lot of people have that same attitude, Scott. How on earth can we look at an 11-0 team and go, yeah, but they're not that good?
Well, I think the biggest problem with Pittsburgh is not that they're not that good, is that everyone's like, well, it's Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City, you know, is as far as the AFC goes, is clearly the best team. And so you look at the other teams, you go, Buffalo, they're kind of scary, but we don't really take them serious anymore. And then, of course, New England literally fell off the map. I mean, they are not, you know, they're out of it. I mean, they are absolutely gone. And then there's another team that's like Tennessee that's just – they're kind of lurking. You know, they could make a move here in the playoffs. But, you know, it's really Kansas City's league right now. And so whatever Pittsburgh does, it's not gonna work for them. And Pittsburgh's done this before. They've been really good in the regular season, and they get to the playoffs, and they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the first round at home. You know, so it's hard for people to take Pittsburgh seriously.
It's weird to not take an 11-0 team seriously, but at the same time, I don't know.
They're winning games.
They are,
and
it wasn't like today's game was that nice of a game either. It was against a team that doesn't look good either. And these are supposed to be the two class teams of their division. And that's all I'm wondering about.
You have Ben Roethlisberger, okay? Ben Roethlisberger is he's such a savvy veteran guy, and he's healthy. And I don't know that he's been very healthy for years, and he kind of had those issues last year and took some time off, and so now he really rehabbed, and you can see that he's just in a much better place physically, and I think that's had a huge impact on his game. And so when you have a quarterback that's as savvy and a veteran and won Super Bowls and is healthy, and you've got some people around him, and they're pretty balanced, and they've got a pretty good defense. That's a really solid team, because in the NFL, I don't know that there is just this one team that's just got everything. It's like everybody in the whole NFL has flaws.
Yeah, and I wonder too. I mean, like you're looking at where the NFL is versus where we could see them in a couple of weeks, which is if COVID-19 really continues that uptick in the NFL, which we've seen. You could see games not just postponed and pushed back a couple days, or maybe you're playing with a short list of quarterbacks, but the NFL is really on the verge of having to start canceling games like college football has done. And that is such a non Like, the NFL is just like, we are not going to do that. But at some point, they might end up having to do that. And that brings me to my next question, Scott. Why is it that the NFL is still not considering the use of a playoff bubble? It worked for the NFL. I mean, for the NBA. I don't know exactly know how it would work for the NFL. But certainly looking into it and figuring out a way to keep those playoff games as safe as possible, meaning that they – that the kickoff is going to be assured at some to some extent. Why wouldn't they look into something like this?
I don't know the answer to why. I'm just speculating, but I think an NFL game right now at the stadium is actually pretty safe. I don't think it's that the games where these issues happen. You look at the Broncos and these quarterbacks, they're not wearing masks. Now, I think teams that are competing and are on top, they're probably not having the same kind of attitude that the Denver Broncos. You know, the Denver Broncos are out of it. So they're like, what do we care? We don't want to wear it. We don't have to wear a mask. I think the teams that matter and the teams that are in contention are doing everything they possibly can to avoid, you know, this like delay of their games or cancellation or quarantine or whatever. So I think the NFL feels like the people that matter, the people that are making the playoffs, are probably doing the best they can and a reasonable attempts to, you know, to not get sick. Because here's the thing about a regular season schedule in the NFL. You don't have time to, like, you can isolate and quarantine yourself pretty easily in the NFL. You go into the facility and you're there early in the morning and you're there all day and you can even go into the evening and you can just go home. And that's not an uncommon season for anyone. And so if these players will just kind of curtail their nightlife for this football season and they can go, you know, have all the nightlife they want in February, March, April, May, and June. But right now, I don't know that the NFL has to do it, actually.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We got our 2-minute drill to wrap things up next. Stay with us right here. KSL's Unrivaled continues. And we put a nice little bow on the show next. Stay right here on KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery here. And, of course, I'm glad that music started because I was asleep during the break. And
why would you do that?
I was Come asleep. On. I was having a nice nap during the break. And
my favorite thing during the day... And this is this is between the listener and I, okay, Scott? This doesn't have anything to do with you, okay?
Oh, all right.
So you can tune out for the next part. Okay. Scott makes his dinner while we're show prepping in the back, and he's like, great point! Like, this sounds like I can hear him, and he's like, he's chopping up stuff, and then he'll sit down and go, oh, man, this sandwich is so good. You wish you had it. We're in a studio where you can't eat, you can't drink anything. Scott's over there. He's streaming this camera of him. I cooked up this filet mignon here at the Casa
de
Scott.
The perks of being at home. That's the life of a COVID quarantine.
You're like, oh, I really wish I could be at the office with you. This is COVID is taking its toll on me. Hold on. I've got to shave some truffles on these steaks real quick. Jeez. All right. Well, Scott.
Ooh, truffle. That's a good idea.
Have you ever been? Listen, you're in the NFL, so. I've been to one of those restaurants, you know, where they like they're slicing the truffle. You know, would you like some truffle? And I thought it was like black pepper, you know.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, keep it going, you know. And then they're like, sir, it's $14 a slice. And then you're like, slice of what? Yeah. I'm like this.
Slice of fungus.
This macaroni I just got is already $23. You feel good about shaving truffle onto macaroni and cheese? All right. That's my beef about truffles, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play some of our favorite NFL music here to round out the show. It's a 2-minute drill, Scott. We got to see an early 2-minute drill today, the NFL on it's only the second Wednesday football game in the NFL in the last 70 years. The last time, 2016. The Cowboys played on a non-Thursday night game. They played on a Wednesday so that the Democratic National Convention could play on TV. Yeah, they didn't want to get in the way of that. So here you are. Give us the old 2-minute drill rundown. What does it mean to run a 2-minute drill, Scott?
Well, late in the game, you got to hurry down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown, don't have a lot of time. Usually don't have very many timeouts, so you hurry. Show's the same way. Got a lot still to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry down the show, finish the show, get a trophy. Everyone's happy, and we go home wearing a mask and eating truffles.
That's true.
Yes.
Kind of a bummer, the Las Vegas Bowl, now the latest victim of the bowl season cancellations.
You know how excited I was for the Las Vegas Bowl?
Well, think about it, because it's
just a stadium.
Yes, it's a better bowl now. Yeah. I mean, it's in a better stadium. But, they couldn't justify doing it. I really do think that the next game that's going to be played with an actual crowd in front of it in that stadium is going to be BYU versus Arizona next fall.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see more games played in there, but...
Do you think Taysom Hill will have thrown his first touchdown by then?
First of all, you're not making any friends with BYU fans with those kinds of remarks, Scott.
Oh,
right?
Relax.
How dare you?
Relax.
I definitely had people at me on Twitter, and they're like, give the guy a break. He's trying his best. He's scoring touchdowns. What have you ever done? And I'm like, I'll just listen. All I'm saying is.
What have you done, Alex? I have thrown as many touchdowns as Taysom Hill.
That's what I'm saying.
We're equal in that part.
Scott goes, I've thrown 100 touchdowns in the NFL. What have you done, Alex? I go, I've thrown the same as Taysom Hill. We're on the same plane. All right. So let me roll this one out. Let me roll this next one out here. I wish the Vegas Bowl. I do like the Vegas Bowl. I think the Pac-12 not having another bowl is a weird thing, too, because I think that.
Well, they don't get the Rose Bowl this year.
Right. I think the reality is this, though. You're going to have a lot of teams that are under 500. And or not a lot of teams, but you're going to have some teams under 500 that aren't going to go to a bowl. I think you're going to have limited amount of bowls anyway. So, and if your team is decimated by COVID as it is, why would you think that playing in a bowl game would be a great option for you? It's going to be on your dime. You're not really getting any benefits out of it. I don't know. Maybe who knows? Scott, did you see the Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight at all?
No, I didn't.
I mean, the guy's like 50-something, and he's fighting Roy Jones Jr., who's also 50-something.
You know, boxing's an interesting thing to me.
I like boxing. I love boxing.
I feel like boxing died when Mike Tyson was – I really do. It just doesn't seem to have the same, excitement, luster to it.
Well, certainly two things against it are the UFC.
Oh, completely.
And then the advent also of the fact that pay-per-view has just gotten so ridiculously expensive. And I mean, that's helped UFC, but the popularity of UFC has just been... But Mike Tyson, I don't know how much money he made over the weekend, but now everybody's coming out of the woodwork to fight Mike Tyson, who had a draw with Roy Jones Jr. And was also he had smoked marijuana before the boxing match, and... I don't know if there's going to be another rematch between he and Roy Jones Jr., but Buster Douglas wants a piece. Of course, Buster Douglas is the guy that beat him in Tokyo back when he was just defending his title against a middle-of-the-road guy, and Buster Douglas ended up upsetting Mike Tyson, one of the biggest upsets in boxing history. I'm not into watching these guys in their 50s box anymore, and I certainly wouldn't pay any money.
As you talk about it, I kind of am.
Well, I'm not. Like, listen, Mike Tyson isn't a character. I like Mike Tyson as a character.
That's why, right. That's because they're interesting people, and I don't even care if they're 50. Like, I'm sitting here going, could Buster Douglas, take him again kind of thing, because that was just a total shock when that happened. And then, of course, and it was a big deal, and that was what was so great about boxing. It was such a big deal, and... and all this build up to these fights. But now it's like, okay, does Evander Holyfield get in the ring with Tyson again, and does he bite his ear? I could actually get into that.
After the fight, they were like, here's why it's not that. He had a draw. And famously, boxers, they have a draw, and then they go like this. No, this is bull crap, man. They stole this from me. I'm the champ. And then the other guy's standing over there, and he's holding the belt, and he's going, I'm the champ. I'm the champ because at the end of the fight, Roy Jones goes, I don't know, it was a pretty good fight. And then Mike Tyson goes, I'm happy with the draw. Yeah, I'm happy with the draw. That's nice. Even though I guess all the scores, it ended up as a draw, but most of the people who watched it said Mike Tyson absolutely destroyed. I just don't think that if you're trying to sell it as a...
Trying to get a rematch is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, if you're trying to... The rematch is a thing, but also... Buster Douglas, Evander Holyfield. There's no way I want to see Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. You already had two times to be able to get me involved in this thing.
You know who I want to see box?
Who?
Donny Osmond and Danny Bonaduce.
Okay. The Dooch.
That's what I want to see.
Danny Bonaduce. Why Danny Bonaducci?
Well, they've oxed before.
Oh, just they're because kind of the famous. Just because they're kind
it's
of
childhood stars.
Childhood stars.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan.
They did all this. Yeah. They already did all this. I love this. Mitt Romney and Evander Holyfield. See, we already done it, man.
Yeah, but I don't care about that one.
Oh, come on. Mitt won that one. Fair and square.
No.
Next up, Scott, before we get out of the I got to get the music going here again. Next up, before we get out here, LeBron James is in L.A. for another couple of years. 2 years, $85 million extension. 42.5 per on those, and not a bad payday for him. I don't know how long is LeBron James going to be playing basketball. I mean, he's won a championship every city he's gone to, and I know you're not a big fan of it because he quote unquote bought it. But at some point, what do you need to do? What does LeBron James need to prove in the next 2 years in LA? And should he be done after those 2 years?
Oh, I don't care about these athletes getting paid. I don't care about them getting, you know, playing as long as they want to play, and because it's a time in your life, and when it's over, it's done. So I have no problem with it. But it's just hard for me with LeBron, and it's hard for me with LA. I'm just a Jazz fan, and so I don't care. Actually, I don't really care. I hope that he doesn't play well, and I hope he just, you know, and I really wonder how motivated he is. It just, to me, doesn't feel like. I know he goes, yeah, we feel like we can
right.
Get another
it seems like he has
know.
More. He has
it's
more.
It's like
of
no
a,
kidding. I mean, you could say that every year. You know, wherever you are, LeBron. Well, yes,
Jeremy, when was he going to be draft eligible? The Sun. When was the Sun going to be draft eligible? Did we figure it out? He said it was going to be like a year. After those 2 years, it would be one more year, and then his son would be draft eligible. So maybe there's that motivation for staying on for another few
now,
years.
If I'm in that situation. I'd love to do that.
Play with the Sun, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Get your kid there. All
I
right.
would rather have that than anything else. Winning a Super
yeah.
Bowl.
I'll play
any
for free
it.
These next 2 years.
I would absolutely. And you know what? I'd love it if my son was like a DB. and I was a quarterback and I burned him. You know? That would
oh,
be fun.
You want to play against him?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Or maybe with him.
See,
you
I think LeBron's like, see,
pass
see, that'd be awesome. Yeah. See, Mitchell throws to the big tight end, Mitchell. See, that'd be more fun for me to watch. All right. Yeah. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Another version of the Nightside Project of KSL's Unrivaled. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you then, everybody. Well, I'm going to edit that out now.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.